On radio, online and mobile. You're with SBS Radio. Now it's news and current affairs with SBS Dinka.
We're ping ne agu ya tonga jeng ne SBS Dinka Radio.
Hello and welcome to SBS Dinka. I'm going to be joined by the South Sudanese Church DFS or Deputy Ambassador since last year in United States, Gordon Boy Malik. Gordon Boy just returned from South Sudan back to Washington, but he fired one of the staff that we have actually interviewed here, Manyong Lualkoch. And one of the reasons that Manyong was fired, I think he will tell it, he will explain it to us a bit. But the reason that that was mentioned in some of the reports was that Manyong was not paid for over 10 months. And I will hear what is the ambassador saying. Ambassador, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Okay. Now, let's go into what happened. You just fired a local employee who happened to be a South Sudanese American and who was employed by the former ambassador. And then you came in and the other ambassador came in. Why is he fired?
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you for welcoming me to the Dinka language of SBS Radio in Australia.
Thank you.
In answering your question, last time, I think it was 2 weeks ago when you interviewed Mr. Manyong Lual.
Yes.
At the time you interviewed him, I was in Juba. I listened to the whole interview. Mr. Manyong was employed by the Republic of South Sudan Embassy in 2012, when he was employed as a local staff, which means he was employed as a driver.
Yes.
So all the drivers, those who are driving diplomats and driving ambassadors, are all under the category of local staff, whether somebody, the secretary or the cook or a driver. Mr. Manyong Lual signed a contract with the Republic of South Sudan, a contract which is renewed every year. Last year, in January 2017, at the time, Ambassador Buck Valentino Wall was the deputy chief of mission responsible for administration. At the time, I was responsible only for diaspora community affairs. So they signed a contract with our embassy. In that contract, there are clauses. There is a clause addressing the issue of the lateness of salaries. And there is a clause of non-disclosure clause saying that once you work for the embassy, you have to keep everything you have seen in the embassy secret. You cannot go to the media and things like that. First, let me address the issue of the salary, which is the issue that Mr. Manyong told you that he went to the SBS radio claiming that he was not paid. Well, what I want to say is this. The government of the Republic of South Sudan has not refused to pay any employee employed by the government, whether in America or in any embassy or in South Sudan. What we found ourselves in is economic and financial situation facing our country. That was the reason when Mr. Manyong signed a contract in 2017, he signed a contract which has a clause saying that based on the financial difficulties faced by the government of the Republic of South Sudan, the employees of the Republic of South Sudan Embassy in Washington should be made aware that there will be salary delays.
Now,
those delays can be 7 months, 8 months, depending on the financial situation of the country. And Mr. Manyong signed it is one thing. Okay. When Mr. Manyong, despite the fact that he signed that contract, when I became the deputy chief of mission responsible for finance administration in April 2017, I came up with a new policy in June last year, a policy that would address the fact that since the salaries would be late, and then there has to be a mechanism that we at the embassy should do in order for our employees to survive. Because if you are in the Western world, you must pay your rent, you must have food, and things like that. So I allowed them to have a part-time job, even more than part-time job. I introduced a policy that the drivers will pick us up in the morning at 8 a.m., drop us at the embassy, and then they will go for Uber. What I did, all the embassy cars, we put them in the parking lot within our building. The drivers used to pick us up with their own cars, because once they drop us at the embassy, what they will do, they will go for Uber, drive Uber. And then when we finish at 5 p.m., and then they will pick us up and take us to residence. If Ambassador Grandding or I is going for a meeting, and it is an official meeting, and it is not every day, sometimes there are official meetings that would require a diplomatic card. For example, you go to White House, you go to the State Department, you go to Congress, where you need a diplomatic card, then they will park their car in the embassy parking lot, and then take a diplomatic car to take an ambassador or me to a certain meeting. So this was arrangement, and they were very happy because they were making money. And I told them that, look, I'm not going to deduct anything from your salary. If your salary comes, you see the salary from Juba as a saving, you see?
Okay.
And this is the arrangement I did.
And then, okay, let's come back to the reality of a situation, Ambassador Gordon Boy. If local employees, these people are supposed to be paying taxes, and they are used, they are known by the American government as people working, and there is nothing that indicates that somebody's salary can be late for a year. Are you not putting them in a very odd position?
What do you mean by odd position?
Yes, they are supposed to be paying taxes. Yes. They are supposed to be bills. Are you not putting them as local employees?
The U.S. government, okay, let me answer it in this way. We are the embassy. We are the employer, right?
Yeah.
We give you a check. You as employee, employed by the embassy, you are the one to go and pay taxes to the U.S. government. If the employer is late, the U.S. government will not come and tell you that, oh, you come and pay taxes and you did not receive any check. Because for you, when you file a tax, you see, as an American, you have to show a proof of income. So this thing of issuing American government giving hard time to employees of the South Sudan Embassy is not there. Another thing
with the labor laws in the U.S. whether you sign a 6 month or 2 days contract, it is a contract, mm-hmm. and that is the condition of the money was that this person will be paid monthly. And if that was the case, are you not legally liable for neglecting this employee?
If you sign a contract which has a clause saying that you must expect salary delays because of financial difficulty of that country, then I'm not legally liable. This thing, you have to know it. Even if you go to any contract lawyer, they will tell you, okay, when you sign a contract to work with this government, and they stated clearly that you must expect salary delays, then you have no case.
Now, in one of the interviews that I had with Manyok, said that they confronted you after your BOA interview, that one of the interviewees asked you whether your staff were actually being paid. You denied that, but they came and confronted you, and you apologized to them.
How do I apologize to local staff? I am ambassador of the Republic of South Sudan. These people, they are our employees of the embassy.
Pienge arete ne SBS dinka. Chobro di akere chat ne to de ne Facebook. Niar walk ne kilo yuku tin eten kulek walk utek pin ne kuwin bi koko yuk SBS dinka ne Facebook.
Can you expect an ambassador apologizing to a driver?
No. Okay. Is an employee, if they have said that you went and said that we are being paid and you are not paying us, have they raised that question or not?
My friend, listen to me. If a Voice of America or any or CNN ask me a question intended to embarrass the Republic of South Sudan, and I answer it in a way that I choose as an answer, can a local staff come and tell me that why did you you deny the truth?
No, but
you cannot.
But is he entitled to say that, look, I like in one of the report by the BOA and our report as well, this particular staff is looking for about $47,000 or more from you as an organization, as an embassy, and now that he's fired, have you paid him the money?
I will pay him. I told him your services are not any longer needed. Your employment is terminated. I calculated all his arrears because next week I'm going to give him a salary of May. And then from June to the end of this month, I calculated it and it will be given to him. That one, I made it clear in the letter of termination and I signed it. So he will wait for me to give him his money.
How many months is he now that he need to be paid? Okay, 9 months if they were to... I'm not familiar with the U.S. Labor laws. And if they were to seek any legal action against the embassy, will that not be a big problem to the embassy, or what do you see?
There is no big problem, my friend. There is no big problem. Because first the contract is stated that the salary would be late. Number two, I'm not refusing to pay anybody. I'm just in a situation whereby we have financial difficulties. So even if they go to any court of law, so the court of law will tell me, I do not refuse to pay them, but I told them the salaries will be late, so they have to wait for me. I don't see any legal ramification or anything, even if he wants to go to U.S. Supreme Court or to the International Court of Justice or to Mecca or to Jerusalem. The answer will be the same.
No, but the reality is that if the answer will be the same, but you will not be the judge ambassador, if they are going to say that...
My friend, there's one thing you don't understand here. Okay, there's one thing I want you to understand.
Yep.
This anybody we employed at the embassy, okay, even if they go to court and I decide not to go to court, nobody can sue me. Do you know the embassy has international immunity? Do you know that?
No.
You cannot sue South Sudan Republic. Any embassy in the world, you cannot sue it, whether in criminal court or in civil court. Do you know that?
I'm not familiar with the U.S. laws, but I'm asking.
This is international law. Even myself, I have immunity. The embassy has immunity from being sued.
Okay,
you understand that.
But is that why the advantage is being taken for the staff?
No, there's no advantage being taken.
Yeah.
There's no advantage being taken. Even I myself have not been paid. For the same months that he wants, I'm not paid, and I'm the ambassador.
No,
even in Juba, they're not paid.
You are an ambassador for your country, but if he's working as a local employee, why would he be subjected to a situation he is considered?
He is not subjected to a situation. He agreed to work in the embassy, knowing quite well that the salary would be late. And I allowed him to have a part-time job, where even last year in July, he made $5,000 a month with Uber. Why did you last time when you interviewed him, you asked him a very good question. You asked him that if the government of South Sudan did not pay you for 1 year, as he alleged, how did he survive? How did he live? That was a very good question, but he did not answer that question. Because why I allowed him to drive Uber to have a second job for his survival.
Do you have a legal agreement on that point? Have you signed anything?
Let me send you the contract that he signed, and you read the contract very clearly. Read the contract so that you get the facts right, and ask other local staff whether I did not allow them to have to drive Uber a second job for their survival.
So you are saying
that... How did Manioc survive?
So you are saying that I've given you an opportunity to earn more money and your salary is not going to be touched, and that is something that an advantage for them.
I allowed them to have a second job, and that second job is like a full-time job,
okay,
because I know that it has to cover the time that we are waiting to receive the money from the Republic of South Sudan. These people are South Sudanese. They are our brothers.
Eh?
These are Red Army. They are former Red Army. They are our brothers. We feel the situation they are going through. We have to sympathize with them. That was the reason I came for that policy. The only embassy in the entire world, the only embassy that initiated that policy is our embassy in the Washington.
Okay.
That came up with the policy that, okay, let's give this local staff a second job for the survival.
Kwesi Ambassador, thank you for your time and also I'm grateful that we are able to discuss many things. You are welcome anytime. And it's good. The more we argue, the better a lot of people learn. And thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much.
No problem.
Thank you. Shukran. Thank you.
But of course.
You are listening to the South Sudanese Church, their first, Gordon Boy Malik, who now reside in the United States, Washington, D.C., and we were talking about the issues in South Sudan and also the situation on which one of the staff was fired. SBS ato negan kok yinke to thin air. Piyang ina kukul chike kyaal ni podcast to ni internet kan ni mobile abaj. Lor nim sbs.com.au/dinka kulum SBS radio app.